You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
What a great Sunday night. Amen. God is so good. You know, there's whenever you transition or do something like that, you always envision what the day is going to look like, what the ideal day is going to look like. I want people to put down rose petals as, maybe that's just me, I don't know, but you have that vision, and honestly, today was that for Brianna and I, seeing your faces, seeing what God has done, and all you looking at me like I'm going to cry. I'm not going to cry. I'm just saying we've envisioned it, and this is it. And this is it, seeing you, seeing what you've done, seeing the fruit that's come from your lives, and honestly, the best is yet to come. It truly, truly is. And when I was, it's kind of nice days like this because you get prophesied over like 1,700 times. So it's good. But oh my goodness, how powerful were those words. Shoot. When I was in the Navy, I'll get you to sit in a minute if you're wondering, if you're tired. When I was in the Navy, we had a change of command. That's when one captain leaves and the next captain comes. And when they do that, they have this big ceremony. They have a big ceremony and everybody comes out and you listen to these guys talk, and I don't remember anything except for this one moment. It's one moment, the executive officer, the XO, basically he's second in command of everybody on the ship. There's about 600 guys on the ship and military guys standing there. He comes on and he talks about the transition between the two captains. And he says this, which I still remember to this day, even though that's how boring it was, everything else was boring, I remember this one part. He said, "Your previous captain prepared you for war. And your next captain's going to take you to war." And that hit me. That hit me then. And honestly, I think I forgot about it until right now. It's been 10 years, 11 years now, 12 years since that moment. Brianna and I have been able and have had the honor and the privilege to prepare you for war. But now pastors Matt and Kayla are going to take you to war. They're going to take you. You're going to see things that have never been seen before. You're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. You're going to win a city. You're going to see miracles like never before. You're going to see healings like never before. You're going to see leaders develop like never before. You're going to see new buildings have to be purchased. This will be just My City Youth Building. You guys are going to have a massive Fat Daddy campus. It's going to happen. They're going to take you. They're going to take you. And honestly, we could not think of anybody better than them. Before we even knew it was going to be them, that's who we prayed for. So I want to make sure that you guys honor them, love them, support them as much as you have us. And again, we're not going anywhere. This is our home. But as for me, as for us now, we're going to go pick a fight. We're going to go pick a fight with a devil that's been left alone for too long. We're about to show him that we got some focus, we got some passion, and we're about to go invade some schools, take back what the enemy thought he had. So I want you to pick a fight with me. We're going to do it. Amen. All right, enough of this mushy stuff. Take your seat. We're going to get going. All right. I would tell my team as well how much. I told you before, you guys are good. I love you. Thank God you guys left. Woo! No, seriously. Seriously, yeah. The more that emotional music is there, the more I'm going to get emotional. But I love our team. Thank you so much for giving 110% every day of the week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We love you. Where's Emmy at? There she is. 1226, baby. You guys are awesome. All right. Come on. Joshua, thank you, Sonny. You just said the title of my message. All right. Joshua chapter 6, why don't you come with me? I'm going to preach a message. We're going to pray for some people. On the fourth page of your vision card or your vision booklet is a vision card. You're going to fill that thing out. At the end of the service, we're going to pray for every single person in here. Don't think you can sneak out of here without getting prayer. You need to get prayed for, okay? Because we're going to see some visions come to pass. We're going to see some goals being hit. We're going to see some services being filled. We're going to see some jobs being done. We're going to see some people get married this year. We're going to see some babies get born this year. We're going to see some businesses start this year. It's going to happen. So let's make sure we write those down. Dream bigger. Brandon and I added something else to our vision card. I think in this service or the 12 or one of those, we added something else. So we're believing massively with you this year as well. The title of my message tonight is this, is a vision that leaves a legacy. A vision that leaves a legacy. And I'll get to that in just a moment, but in Joshua chapter 6 in verse 1, it says this. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Let me tell you, this week, Tuesday, I think Tuesday or Monday, the messages come out online, you have to listen to Pastor Juergen's message. The best vision message I have ever heard. Ever. I've heard a lot of messages. You have to get it. You have to listen to it. The reason I say that is because he's talking about Jericho. In the New Testament, historian Mark is talking about Jericho, and it says that Jesus went into Jericho, and then Jesus left Jericho with a multitude of people following him. But what we see here is thousands of years before that, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. It says none went out and none came in. In the Old Testament before Jesus, Jericho, which is a symbol of a stronghold, which is a symbol of something that you might be walking through right now, none came out, none went in, and none came out. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, when Jesus shows up to the stronghold, when Jesus shows up to the difficulty, when Jesus shows up to that thing that you haven't had victory in, to that thing you haven't seen anything come out of it and anything go into it, when you haven't been battling and nothing's happened, when Jesus shows up to that thing, he goes in and he comes back out again. What was shut up before is going to open up tomorrow. What was shut up last year is going to open up this year. What was a stronghold last year is going to be a miracle this year. The battle of last year will be the victory of this year. Why? Because there's one factor that the devil didn't count on. His name is Jesus. He thought he took him out, but he just empowered him even more. So we see here that in this story, Jericho, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. I love this unfold. This is just the first intro of my message. This is what it says. God says, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. Now go march around it. I love the way that God operates when he talks and when he communicates vision. When he communicates vision, God always does it like this. See, I've given it to you. Now I need you to go and get it. Which means this. Before we can occupy it, we need to possess it. It's a little thing I like to call dyslexic faith. I preached on it a few months ago, and if you can get the message, but it's dyslexic faith. It's opposite of what people tell you. It's opposite of what people will speak to you. It's opposite about what every professional might tell you what to do. It's called dyslexic faith, which is this, before I occupy it, I've already possessed it. People tell you that you don't actually possess or occupy something until you have it in your hand, but my Bible teaches me something a little bit differently. My Bible teaches me that I must possess it here and possess it here before I occupy it out here. So this year, your vision card, what you're about to write down, what you're about to go after, listen, before you can have it in your hand, you got to have it in your heart. So guess what? Now when you get it in your hand, it's not a surprise. How come you're not so surprised? Because 12 months ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 3 months ago, I already had it in my heart. When we were going through buying a house, there were some complications like there always is when you're trying to take territory, physical or spiritual. There's some opposition, and when we were doing that, you know, things looked a little bit tough, but we were never swayed. We never backed down. We always knew that God was going to come through. Why? Because before we had it in our hand, we had it in our heart. Listen, this year, when you're writing down your visions in just a couple minutes, you need to possess it in your heart so you can have it in your hand. Possess it before you occupy it. It's not popular. It's contrary to maybe what you've been taught, but that's because you've been taught the wrong thing. It's time to believe the right things. It's time to see things before you have them. It's time to step into all you have. God says to Joshua, see, I've given it to you. It is yours already. But what I know about God is just because he says it doesn't mean it's automatic. We can't sit back, cross our fingers, and hope, God, you gave me a vision, you gave me a prophetic word. Now, when are you going to come through on your word? God says, I gave it to you. Now you need to work your butt off and get it. God's vision is not automatic. His prophecy isn't automatic. His plan for us is not automatic. We want to see that vision come to pass. Then we need to write it down. We need to possess it in our heart. And then we need to wake up before anybody else wakes up, be pursuing God, going after God, praying like nobody's business, doing everything and anything we can so that what God told me I have, I now have. And let me tell you, there is probably nobody that Brianna and I know better to help you do that than Matt and Michaela. They're going to help you see your goal, see your vision, and get it done. And you're going to party like nobody's business when you do. But before we do that, you got to write it. You got to possess it. You got to have it in your heart. You got to have that thing ready to go. So we need to be people that do that. We need to be people that possess before we occupy. I need to possess it in my spirit before I have it in the physical. Listen, we need to be able to see it for today. We need to be able to see and have vision for my tomorrow, for 2017, for 2018. But tonight, in the few moments I have left before we pray for everybody, the biggest kind of part and point of my message is this. I'm not going to try to re-preach anything that Pastor Jurgen preached because he's the master. But what I want to tell you tonight and preach to you as you know, the 5 p.m. service on January 15th, my honor to preach to you is this, is we need to have a vision that leaves a legacy. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I want to come to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles, I know a lot of you don't read that. You skip over that and you go right to Esther or Psalms or something interesting. There's actually some really interesting things in Chronicles. It just goes a little bit deeper into the kings and King David and Solomon and all that good stuff. So 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Starting in verse 1, it says this. And David said, This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel. So David commanded to gather the aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he appointed masons to cut hewn stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates and for the joints, and bronze in abundance beyond measure, and cedar trees in abundance for the Sidonians, and those from Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. Now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it. So David made abundant preparations before his death. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged them to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. So when I talk about a vision that leaves a legacy, I'm talking about King David at this moment. King David had a vision of a house of God. It was so detailed in his mind. He said the house of the Lord must be magnificent. It must be glorious in all the earth. There must be nothing like it, nothing beside it. No temple, nothing shall compare to the house of God that we're about to build. He knew what kind of nails to get. He knew what kind of wood to get. He knew the gold where it was going to inlay. He knew every detail of the house of God, but David never saw it. He knew everything, and he didn't just know everything. He prepared for everything. When we have a vision, it cannot just be for my today. It cannot just be for my tomorrow. It needs to be a vision that outlasts and outlives me. It needs to be a vision that goes beyond who you are, that your great-grandchildren, your great-great-great-great-grandchildren are living in the vision that you wrote down before you had it. You saw it, and because you saw it, because you prepared for it, now a generation can receive it and live in it. See, the vision that you write down needs to be what you want for 2017, absolutely. It needs to be what you want for this year. But it also needs to be about what are you building for people and a generation and a building that you may never see. What are we building that outlives me? David had a vision, but he said this, I will prepare for it. I will lay the foundation for it. But my son will build it and my son will see it. He was so secure and who he was to build a house that he would never see. To build something that he would never step foot in. He has such a vision for this thing. He knew it was so right that he put it down. He believed it while he was a young man. I believe maybe while he was a shepherd boy in the field playing his harp. Defending the sheep from the lions and the bears. He's worshiping God and he has this picture. He has this vision in his mind. Of a magnificent building. While he's a young boy, he sees this vision. And now he's an old man and he realizes still he'll never step foot in it. But he absolutely will prepare for it. So I wonder if we can do something this year that outlives us. If we can do something that goes far beyond what we will ever see. Let me get the band to come up. You know how I roll, so we're just going to roll like that. So he built a foundation that Solomon could build on. He built a foundation that Solomon could build on. He prepared for it. He prayed for it. He raised money for it. I wonder if we can be secure enough in who God has called us to be. I wonder if we can know what God has called us to do and appointed us to do and have a vision that outlives us. Have a vision that leaves a legacy for our children. And I'm talking about all of us in here. 100 years from now, will what we wrote down today still be seen then? What we wrote down today, will somebody else see it? Can we dream big enough to know that I don't necessarily have to possess it? I don't have to step into it. When I was in high school, I ran a relay race, the 4x100 relay. And I used to be the anchor on it until a guy came in who was faster than me and he became the anchor. So when I used to be able to finish a race, I could no longer finish it. Now it was just part of it. So what I want to say to you is this, is I wonder how many of us tonight can be okay just being a part of the race and not finishing it. I wonder if we can be okay just handing off the baton, just doing our part. But listen, no, don't get me wrong. Do you think I want you to mope around and be sad about the race you're running and the leg you have because you can't finish? No. What I expect and what I want is that you would run that leg of your race with so much passion and fire on the inside of you that even though you might not physically be finishing it, you saw it in your mind. You're still a part of the victory whether or not you finished it or not. So I wonder if we can be those people. I wonder if we can do our part to see the name of Jesus glorified, to see the house of God glorious again. We think this is the final days. Don't let people, even if somebody says end days to you, just say zip it. Don't talk to me about end days. Don't talk to me about final days. Talk to me about finest days, because that's what we're in. That's where we're standing.
These are the best days to be alive. This is the best time to live. This is the best day for the house of God. This is the best time to write down a vision. This is the best time to believe for God. Well, I stopped believing because of the economy and because of the president and because of this and that. Don't stop believing. That's a song. There's a quote that says this: the goal is not to live forever, but to create something that will. The goal is not to live forever, but it is to create something that will. What have we written down that will live forever? What have we done? Is it just about the trucks we're going to buy and the houses we're going to buy and the jobs we're going to get? I'm not saying that's wrong. If it builds something that will live forever. Your job builds the house of God. Your gifting builds the house of God, because what happens here outlives us. That's why I give my heart to this thing. That's why it is not something that I do. It is who I am. When I go home, I don't clock out from building the house of God. I don't only do it when I'm working. I do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why? Because I know that this is my life. Guess what? I have an eternity to live with Jesus. I only have 120 years to live for Him. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to live for Him. Every breath, every second, every minute, every day, every hour, every Sunday, every 10, every 12, every 5, every Friday night, every breath that is in me, my God, I will live for you. I will give my heart, my vision, my time, my resource, my gifting, my strength, my voice, whatever it is, God, it is for you. Because I want to have a vision that outlives me, that my children see, that my grandchildren see. When they say, man, your great-grandfather, he saw this. You're worshiping in it, but he saw it. You know, back when they were building great cathedrals, it would take them 200 years to build them, which means the original architect never saw it finished. But don't ever think that he didn't have a part in it. Because without him, without your foundation, without your vision that you have right now, who? Nobody will be able to step into it. See it now. We're in a service right now, and the presence of God is here like I've almost never experienced before. You want to know why? It's not because of me transitioning. It's not because of that. It's because of 15 years ago, two people from Australia saw it, and now I get to stand in it. That's what God has called us to do, to have a vision that leaves a legacy. Outlives me, that outlives you. This is where they can bury me. I'm not looking for a next level, a next step, a stepping stone. Church isn't a stepping stone. It's my resting place. Let me show you this. Deuteronomy, whatever you say that stinking word, 34 verse 4. All you educated people are laughing. 34 verse 4 says this: then the Lord said to him, Moses, he's saying to Moses, this is a land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. So Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley. And when it says he, it doesn't mean people. God buried Moses. What a burial. God buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. God says to Moses, you can look at it, but you cannot step into it. 40 years you've been wandering around.
40 years, you've been dealing with people's issues. It's not like it was a big journey, which meant this. It wasn't a straight line. It was circles they walked in. And every so often, they would see the promise, but Moses could never step into it. God takes him up on a mountain finally, and he says, see, what you've been working for, that's it. He says, but you'll never step into it. You will never step into that. Are we okay having a vision in a building, something that we may never see? Now let me show you this. We think, we preach, and we know. If we were to talk about Moses, oh, it's because of his mistakes, and it's because of this thing, and this imperfection in Moses, and this blemish, and this default in him, God would not let him to enter the promised land. We think that Moses missed out. We think, oh, he got to see it, but he never got to enter it. We preach like Moses missed out. But you want to know what I figured? Is he did not miss out. Because the Bible says this, Moses was 120 years old. He didn't die from sickness. He didn't die from any disease. The Bible said that his face was still glowing. His eyes were not dim. He still had strength as he did when he was a younger man. When Moses died, he was in his prime. And God says, listen, you have done what I have called you to do. You have built something that will outlive you. I'm going to take you so you can see it. You're not going to enter it. Why? Because there's still going to be some fighting in the promised land. It wasn't automatic in the promised land. There's still going to be some problems. There's still going to be some difficulties. Moses, you have done what I've called you to do. Now come with me because you're about to rest. Not because you are old, but because you have finished. See, when I die, I don't want to die because I'm old. It got no passion. It got no fire. I want to die because I'm finished. I'm done. I did it. I ran my race. I finished it. I crossed it. I did all that God purposed in my heart to do. Take me now. Take me, God. The reason we have a problem is because we're so asphyxiated on the destination. Because we think the destination is the reward. But it's not. It's the journey that's the reward. The destination is not the reward. It's what happens to the destination. If we just got what we wrote down and automatically, we wouldn't be able to keep it. It's the journey that it's about. It's your journey to bust open North County. It's your journey to bust open the schools. It's the journey to bust open the colleges. It's your journey. It's your journey to win your neighbors and your friends and your family and your loved ones and 7 billion people on planet Earth. It is the journey, not the destination. Without the journey, there would be no destination. Don't lose sight of it. You know, the Bible says, and we, again, misquote, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And what we do is we use it as an excuse to stay in the small beginnings. We've been in things for 10 years, and we still say, don't despise the day of small beginnings. We're not beginning anymore. So I'll tell you what your pastors are going to help you do. They're going to help you despise some things that have gone on. They're gonna help you get over. They're gonna help you take you to the next level. They're gonna help you do some things and see some things. They're gonna help you get into the promised land and even further. They're gonna help you make the house of God glorious and wonderful in all the earth. They're gonna do that. But we have to not be okay with an unfilled service. We have to not be okay with an empty altar. We have to not be okay with a Friday night that is not pumping, with a college service that is not powerful. We have to despise some things as well. Now, let me say this to you. This is Mother Teresa. She says this, and I'm going to finish. We're going to pray. It's going to be awesome. Mother Teresa says this. She says, I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the water that will create many ripples. So let me tell you what we need to do.
You think that you can't change your world? Yeah, maybe not by yourself, but God hasn't called you to do it by yourself. We need to cast a stone into the water that creates ripples that do change the world. God has called us to make an impact and a splash. He's not called us to be an Olympic diver. He has called us to be cannonballers. He has called us to do some things that outlive us, that people on the other side of the world are going to feel the impact that North Campus San Diego has. China's going to hear it. Asia's going to hear it. Europe's going to hear it. Australia's going to hear it. They're going to feel the ripples that these guys make and that you make. Don't sit back. Get in the game. Do it. See it. Accomplish it. Write the vision. Make it plain so that I can read it and I can run with it. Do it. God is with you. God is for you. You will occupy. You will take back. You will step into enemy territory. And man, you will kick the devil out of that. You will show him that there is still one God. And his name is the only one I will praise. He's the only one I will worship. He's the only one I will serve. He's the only one I will give my time, my attention, and my best to. His name's above every name. That's what he's called us to do. That's what we'll do. You ready to pray? All right. You guys are crazy. Stand to your feet, please. I figure I just let it all out there. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands. My God. Come on. We're going to do this. We're going to spend about 60 seconds. The band's going to play. They're going to build. And you're going to spend 60 seconds in the presence of God. The ministry team's going to come. And after about those 60 seconds, I want you to write down your God vision. Your vision for today, your vision for tomorrow, and your vision that leaves a legacy. And then everybody's going to come down. You're all going to get prayed for by the team, by the leaders. And we're going to see God move. Before we do that, we need to prepare our hearts for what God wants to do and how he wants to speak. So I want your hands to be lifted up. Why don't you just close your eyes? The band's going to play right now. They're going to build into this thing. And I want you to let God stir up in you a vision, a passion, a purpose that does not die, but that will continue on from generation to generation. God, my God, we are here to serve you. God, give us a vision that will outlive us. God, help us to build the house of God that is glorious, that is wonderful in all the earth. God, that you would be made famous, not us, not our gifts, but your name. God, help us to build a church, God, that has miracles, that has power, that people's lives are changed, that the dead are raised, that the blind see, that the deaf hear. God, that people have babies, that marriages get back together. God, we see you, we look towards you. You are our help, you are our strength. In Jesus' name, come on right now, what are you worshiping?